we went through chapter 35 of Yeshayahu. Now, I know that we have been moving around and zigzagging through Yeshayahu, but I want you to know right now, there is method. There is method to my madness, and it's soon going to start all coming together. And I want to go back to chapter 35. Yesusum midbar v'tziyah, v'tagel arava v'tifrach kachalatzelet. Chapter 35. Let me also tell you at the outset that for our next class you're going to have homework. Now I want you to know you are going to have homework. Your homework is going to be four chapters in Yeshayahu. Now that may seem to be extremely formidable to you, but I know you can do it. The chapters that I want you to go through are going to be 36, 37, 38, and 39. They are the only four historical chapters in Sefer Yeshayahu, and they are nearly a repeat of chapters that appear in Melachim Bet. There's a story that's told. There will be a little bit of poetry, a tefillah, a prayer of Chizkiyahu, but if you want to get a picture of the historical context in which Yeshayahu prophesied, then those are the four chapters, and I say they are a repeat of chapters that appear in Melachim Bet. So for those of you who've been complaining for years that we never finished Melachim Bet, you are now going to have four chapters of Melachim Bet right here in Yeshayahu. And
which one?
I said 36.
No, in Melachim Bet.
Oh, which one's in Melachim Bet? I got to have to remember two. I don't know. It must be around 17, 18. I don't know.
You got me.
All right. So that's going to be your homework. I hope you can do it. And by the way, I want you to know you're not going to have 1 week to do it in. You're going to have 2 weeks to do it in. But you can do it. And then, once we've done those four chapters, then we begin to go straight. Chapter 40 is the chapter of Nachamu, Nachamu, Ami. The Haftar of Shabbat Nachamu. And that goes till toward the end of chapter 40, and at the end of chapter 40 we come to the Haftorah for Parashas Lech Lecha. So we're going to have, and by then we will bring you back to chapter 42, 43 where we began, and you're going to have a whole unit going from 35. I mean, you got me, did I confuse you? Yes, okay. Yesusumet Bar Vitziah. Again, that chapter, because we're going to go from here to a number of other psukim in Yeshayahu. Yisusum yedvar v'tziyah v'tagel arava v'tifrach kahavatzelet. Yisusum comes from the word sason. The word sason appears often in Tanakh. Certainly we will see in Yeshayahu it appears. A precise English translation, I don't know. But it's joy, glee, to be jubilant. Did I get any of it? Is any one of them correct?
Glad.
I tell you, it's the last thing I would have thought of. Not good enough. Rejoice is better, and you'll see right away why. Yesusum midbar v'tziyah v'tagel arava v'tifrach kachavatzelet. Let midbar, the desert, and tziyah, the hot places, and we're going to see right away on the second side of the sheet that you have. We're going to have the Maldim on these psukim. If you want, I told you last week, we'll see it again. If you take a look, the Maldim is always divided into two parts. One part is his commentary, and the other part is his explanation of words. Of words. In this pasuk, he speaks about Yesusum. That's on the left-hand side. And then later he's going to talk about Midbar, Tziyah, Va'arava. Alright? Yesusum, alright, let's say glad, rejoice. Midbar, there are three words in this pasuk that are going to describe areas that are arid and dry. The three words are Midbar, Siyah, and Arava. And it's always good to know what these are, because we're going to meet up with these words time and time again in Tanakh. Midbar, Siyah, and Arava. If you will look into the Malbim that you have in front of you on the left-hand side of the page, on the second side of the page, in middle it says Midbar, Siyah, V'Arava. Hatsiyah, Yivesha, Mesibat, Hachom, Haboer, Sham. Siyah is a place that is dry, and the reason is because there is extreme heat that burns there. That's Siyah. Siyah gam chom yigzalu, a pasuk in Iyov, where the Siyah is described as a place of intense heat. It's just very, very hot. And there are many places on the face of this earth that are very hot. Vahamidbar vahaarava muvdalin. Now midbar and arava are different than Siyah, and different from one another. Bamesh hamidbar shamein mitzad atzmo. The desert is a place that is desolate because of its innate substance. It's sand. It's sand. And because it's sand, nothing grows. That's why it is desolate. Aval ha'arava, sivat shomumuta, mitzav shegedelim sham kotzim v'darbarim v'sichim prayim. The arava is a place where things could grow. The only thing is there's all sorts of growth of thorns and thistles and all sorts of wild growing plants that make it difficult to grow something on the arava, unless you clear out all of the thorns and thistles and remove all of the wild vegetation, then you're able to plant there. I mean, we have a lot of our fruits and vegetables come from the arava. You can turn an arava into a place that is cultivatable.
Arable.
But I made up a word just now. Arable. I don't like that word. All right.
Take the whole word.
All right. So Arava, the reason why it's desolate is because all sorts of things grow there. Kemosha Kosov, Vayosan Midboro Ke'eden, Va'arvatak Gan Hashem, very famous passage that we're going to see later on, that God made Midbara, her desert, like Eden, Va'arvata, the Aravak became Kigan Hashem, like the garden of God. You can turn an Arava into a garden. Ki ha'arava hu hagan ha'midbari. The arava is really the garden of the desert. What you have to do, of course, is make it possible to grow things there. V'ayin l'kamen. We're going to see the psukim later. The top part, now we'll go to the piece before, where the Malbin is going to differentiate between sason, simcha, and gila. We're going to have all sorts of words that mean joy in this chapter. All sorts of words that mean happiness or being glad or being full of joy. If you want to take a quick look at the last pasuk in this chapter, one of the great psukim in all of Tanakh, there are only 10 psukim in the whole chapter. Ufiduyei Hashem, and those redeemed by God will return. Uvo Tzion Verina, they're going to come to Tzion in song. V'simchat Olam Al Rosham. V'simchat Olam Al Rosham, eternal happiness upon their heads. Sason V'simcha Yasigu, they are going to achieve Sason and Simcha. So we obviously have to differentiate what's the difference between Sason and Simcha. They will achieve Sason and Simcha. Venosu yagon va'anocha. Depression and unhappiness is going to flee. Beautiful, beautiful pasuk. So now what we have to do is, what's the difference between sason and simcha, and then gila? Gila is another form of don't ask me about Ditsa Vechepa. Let's just handle what we can. Sasong, Sincha, and Gil. So let's see first what the Malbim says, and then we're going to elaborate on this point. And there are so many psukim in all of Tanakh that are going to become clearer to us as a result. On the second side of the sheet, left-hand side of the page, Yisusum Vitagel Hasasum Gidru Hasimanim Hachitzoniyim Sheya'aseh Lahora'at Hasimcha Biyontet Kemo Mesos Sasum. So first he begins with Sasum. Yisusum comes from the word Sasum. I would say Yisusum should be joy. Really, joy, and you'll see why. He says that the word sason, from which Yisusum is created, bespeaks the outer trappings of happiness. In other words, there is happiness that expresses itself in an outward manner. Of the harp, the sounds of music. Kamo mesos kinor, the joy of the harp, mesos tupim. These are psukim of Tanakh, the joy of the drums. Shemen sason, an oil or an ointment that gives joy. Vehifucho, the opposite of sason, hasimanim sheyasu siman evel. There are those outward signs of mourning. Outward signs of mourning. Shemen Sason, later on in Yeshayahu we're going to come that there will be Shemen Sason. There's going to be the oil or the ointment of joy, Tachat Evel, in place of mourning. Ulefamin Yesh Sason below Simcha. At times there's such a thing as Sason, joy, without Simcha, happiness. For example, Halobesh Binti Yontif Ulefanav Tov V'kinar V'nafsho Alav Teva. A person who puts on yontif clothing and there's music being played before him, but inside he's mourning, he's hurting on the inside. There may be the outer trappings of simcha, of joy and happiness, but inside is em shmerz, it is hard for him on the heart. Yesh simcha v'gil below Sason, there can be Simcha and Gil without Sason. Halobesh big day Evel, v'yagil v'yismar b'levavo. As one may be wearing the clothing of mourning, but there's a sense of happiness within, and you'll see right away what this means. Lachain, therefore, Pasuk says, Yosis alayet v'simcha, God will be full of joy with happiness upon you. V'yosisu b'simcha. In other words, what he's going to come to is the following. Simcha is an inner feeling of contentment. Now, people who are happy don't always walk around dancing for joy. It's an inner sense of contentment, a good feeling. Sason is the good feeling or the happiness when it expresses itself in song, in dance, in joy. But you know, maybe the finest and profoundest form of simcha is just that inner feeling of yishuv hadas, a sense of tranquility. That's simcha. The gil. So we sort of have the idea what sason and simcha is, but I'm going to elaborate on it. Gil gidro biyichud simchat halev al besura tova pit omit. This is going to be important. Gil is also bespeaks an inner joy. You just heard good news, and suddenly you hear good news. So there are those, they hear good news, you know. Girls hear good news. I mean, this is not a, you know, racist comment. You know, they'll jump, a scream of joy. That's Gil. That's Gil. Then there are other people, yeah. Mazel tov. Right. It's more inner expressed than outer. And Kizehev Delo means simcha, the difference between gil and simcha. In other words, gil is real happiness, but there's something that triggers that happiness suddenly. We're not even talking about tears, there are not even any tears. It's just plain unadulterated joy. Kizehev Delo, that's the difference between sason and simcha, shabal simcha, tamidis regilit. Simcha is an ongoing sense of feeling good. That's simcha. Kanal va'ayin l'kaman. There are the psukim up ahead that he quotes over here. You don't have to follow it, but I'll read them to you because they're so beautiful. The first pasuk that he quotes is Samach Aleph 61. 61 pasuk 10. 61 pasuk 10 is, and this is a Haftarah also, Sos osiz v'ashem, I will be full of joy in God, togel nafshi be'elokai, my soul, remember, gil is an inner joy, my soul is going to be happy with God. Sos osiz means the outer expression of this joy, I dance, I sing, and then there's going to be an inner feeling of joy be'elokai, ki hil bishani big day yesha, because God has clothed me with the garments of salvation. Mi'il tzedakah ya'atani, the cloak of righteousness. And tzedakah very often is not, this is also something we have to know, tzedakah doesn't mean what you think it means. For us the word tzedakah means charity. Tzedakah in Tanakh nearly always means victory. Victory. Because when righteousness is done, then you know what happens? The evil are destroyed and the innocent emerge victorious. That's when justice is being done. That's what the word tzedakah means in Tanakh. It doesn't mean, you know, somebody coming to ask, what do you mean mi'il tzedakah? What, a mi'il tzedakah is a second-hand coat from a gemach. The garment of tzedakah God is going to cloak me with, it means tzedakah is righteousness. And when the right is done and evil is destroyed, that's victory. Chechosam yechayim peher, like a chosam who's full of glory, v'chakala ta'adeh keileha, and a kala who's cloaked in the beautiful garments of a kala. Now, take a look at 65. Chapter 65. 65, the Malden. 18 and 19. 65, 18 and 19. Ki imsisu v'gilu adayad. What's going to happen in times to come is the sason that is really something that is a burst of joy. Sason and gila, how is the Malbim explained then? Both of them are an outer expression, a burst of joy, except that we're going to see that sason is something that passes quickly. Gil is more rooted within the neshama. 65, 18. And then we're going to do 19. Ki imsisu v'gilu adayad. In time to come, even sason is going to be something that's going to last. Sisu v'gilu adayad asher ani borei, because I'm going to create it. Ki hinini borei et Yerushalayim gila va'ama masos. I'm going to build a Yerushalayim for you that is going to be full of gil and sason. V'galti b'Yerushalayim. I am going to be happy. Gila means the inner excitement of great joy. V'sasti b'ami. I am going to be happy with my people. And in that great city of Yerushalayim, there will be no longer heard the sound of crying, or of tears, or wailing, or the sound of crying. One more pasuk he brings, and that's an extremely important pasuk, in the last chapter of Yeshayahu, 66, pasuk 10, one of the psukim that you have to You should learn Baal Peh, 66, Pasuk 10, Simchu et Yerushalayim v'gilu ba, kol ohaveha, sisu itam asos, kol hamitablim aleha. Three words I use there. Simcha, sason, sos is from sason, and gilu. Simchu et Yerushalayim, so we've explained so far that simcha is an inner sense of happiness and contentment. Gilu ba is the excitement of the inner sense of joy that comes at a great moment. It may not be seen outside, but it overflows within one's heart. Sisu itomasos kolamit ablimala. Sisu is the outer expression of great joy. All those who mourn for Yerushalayim, their mourning is going to change into great expression, met zingin, met tansin in the streets of Yerushalayim. Unbelievable psukim. Now what I want to do with you is turn over to the front side of this sheet. Because the front side of this sheet is one of my favorite Gemaras in Shas. So I'm going to learn the Gemara with you. The Gemara is there on the right-hand side of the page. It's a Gemara in Sukkah. I didn't write the daf. Mem chet amed bet. Oh, I didn't write it because in the next column you'll see the Shemi Shmuel, the Shas Sukkah, mem chet amed bet. All right. Gemara says the following. The Gemara says that by the Mishnah says that when they brought the water libations on Sukkahs, they blew the shofar. There was great joy by Simchas Beis HaShoeva. It must probably look a little bit something like the Simchas Beis HaShoeva that we try and do. Now, the fact is, the Bible says whoever didn't see Simchas Beis HaShoeva didn't know what it was all about. Menahan Emili, how do we know that you're supposed to have great sounds of joy? Amar Ravina. Ravina said to Amar Krom, because the Pasuk says, Usha'aftem mayim b'sason. Mi mayinei, are you sure? You should fetch water with great joy, b'sason. Mar says the following. A story. Hanu tre mini. There were two blasphemers, apikursim, people who didn't believe. Chad, one of them, Shmei Sason. One of them, his name was Sason. The Chad Shmei Simcha. And one of them had the name Simcha. And one day, Sason and Simcha get together. And it's Bert Lebedev between Sason and Simcha. All right? Amalei Sason was Simcha. Sason said to Simcha, I'm not a difna minach. I'm better than you. Dichtiv, because it says, and that's the pasuk in chapter 35 here in Yeshayahu, Sason v'Simcha yasigu. So which one is mentioned first in the pasuk? Sason precedes Simcha. So Sason says to Simcha, I'm better than you. I come first in the pasuk in Yeshayahu. Amalei Simcha l'Sason. So Simcha says to Sason, what are you talking about? I mean, these fellows knew Tanakh. I know, adifni minach, I am better than you. Dichtiv, he knew Megillas Esther. La Yehudim haita, ora, v'simcha, v'sason, v'yakar. Right? Simcha v'sason. There was Simcha v'sason, la Yehudim. So which one is mentioned first? Simcha precedes Sason. So Simcha tells Sason, I'm better than you. Amalei Sason was Simcha. Now it gets ugly. The discussion between the two gets ugly. Amalei Sason was Simcha. Sason said to Simcha, Chad Yoma, the day will come on one day, Shavkuch, v'shavyuch parvanka. They're going to take you and turn you into a messenger boy. You're going to turn into a messenger boy. Because it says, Ki v'simcha seitzeyu. Pasuk later on in Yeshayahu. Ki v'simcha seitzeyu. U'v'shalom tuvalun. U'v'shalom tuvalun. Hehorim v'hagvot yiftzeku l'fneichem dina v'chol atzei asada yimchalcha. It's talking about the ultimate gula. So he says, b'simcha peitzeyu. How are Jews going to go out from the exile back to Eretz Yisrael? Through Simcha. That means Simcha is going to be the one, I don't know whether he's going to make sure that the traffic it makes its way to Eretz Yisrael, he's going to assist on the road. You're going to be a parvanka. A parvanka is a messenger. And where does it say the word parvanta? She doesn't want to look at me. All right. Okay. It's a Rashi at the end of Parashat Balak, when there's the terrible sin of Zimri and Cosby. So Pinchas comes to Moshe and he says, Haloli Madatonu Babenu, Rebbe, you taught us that somebody who lives with a Goya, Kanoim Pokimpo, the zealous, have a right to run them through. Why are you permitting this to take place before the entire community and you do nothing about it? So Moshe's response to Pinchas was, Parvanta, the Igarta, huh? So what's the end of the sentence? Parvanta di Igarta? Karyana di Igarta iu lehevi parvanta. I know I need it again. Karyana di Igarta, this is Rashi. It's a Gemara in Sanhedrin. Karyana di Igarta means the one who reads the letter. Ihu lehevi parvanta. He should be the messenger to carry it out. You're the one that raised the halacha that Kandoyim Pokempo, that you're supposed to run through the person who does a crime of this sort, you be the one. And I would like anybody who comes up with a great idea at a board meeting, okay, you'll chair the committee to deal with that. Karyano de Igarta, the one who reads the letter, you remember the halakha, Pinchas? You'll be the shaleach. So now what happens is that Sason tells Simcha, the day is going to come that they're going to turn you into a parvanka, you're going to be a messenger boy. You're going to come and tell people that, you know, it's time to go back to Eretz Yisrael. Keep a simcha, because with simcha, or through simcha, take say, you're going to go out. Huh? But he obviously, simcha, it seems to be very upset with this. What do you mean, what's wrong with being a messenger? Who are you talking about, simcha or Pinchas? I don't know, I think that maybe simcha sees himself as a great intellectual. He's going to stand on the road and... He's upset. I'd be upset too. Amalei Simcha, the Sason Simcha Bleitnish Shuldik. He doesn't remain without an answer. Simcha turns to Sason and he says, Chag Yoma, the day is going to come, Shafkuch, they're going to take you, Umalu Bechor Maya, they're going to fetch water with you, they're going to fill you up with water. Sason, you're going to be full of water. Because it says, Ushahaftem Mayim the Sason. You're gonna fetch water with Sason. So he tells Sason, you know what it means? You're gonna turn into not simply a shliach, but a dli, a path, a what do you call it?
A pail.
So Sason turns pale. And he says, Amalei Hahu Mina. The min, this Afrikaris, this non-believer whose name was Sason, he's very excited, he comes to Rabbi Avu, and he says to him, Atiditu the Tamalu Maya La Alma Da'atim? Is it true that in the future, in the world to come, they're going to fetch water with me? Because it says, Dichtiv Usha'at Maya the Sason? Amalei Sir Rabbi Avu says, if it would have said Ushaften Mayim Lisasam, then it could be the way you said it. That you're going to be a water fetcher, but that's not what it says. Ushaften Mayim Bisasam. They're going to take your skin and they're going to turn it into a pail. It doesn't mean you're going to be Gunga Din. Wait a minute. Not going to be Gunga Din, the water boy, you Lazarus Gunga Din. By the living God that flayed me, you're a better man than I am, Gunga Din. Who wrote that? So Sason, Rabbi Avu tells him, Sason, you're not going to be a boy who's... you're not going to be Gunga Din. Gunga Din is too good for you. Too good for you. We're going to take you and we're going to make you into a pail. But now, now that it says Bisason Mashchei, the skin, the Abu Gavra of that man, you, Mashvinen Leguda, we're going to make it into a water container, Umalinen Bay, and we're going to fetch water with it. End of the month. Yes? By the way, from the very beginning of Afrikaris upon the face of this earth, they only used Sukkim. Christianity only used Pesukim. The Quran only used Pesukim because they wanted to say that we're the real Israel. They knew Pesukim better than we do. I remember having a taxi ride in, I was going in a taxi in Johannesburg when it was still safe to go in a taxi, or when it was still safe to be in Johannesburg. And this taxi driver starts telling me, I want you to know in Deuteronomy 6:4. I'm thinking of Deuteronomy 6:4, based on Shustan Menchret, and he's quoting Pesukim left to right. I think it's Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokim. They know, he knew the Pesukim, he knew the Pesukim. These two meaning, and we're going to see what they are. The big question over here is the Gemara cute? Is the Gemara one big joke? Ha ha ha. Is it, God forbid, some kind of a silly story? Isn't that funny? Two non-believers, one whose name is Zatan, and said, I'm better than you, you're better than me, they're going to turn you. And Rabbi Abu, who you understand, takes these two fellows seriously. And Rabbi Abu, who's one of the giants of the Talmud, says, no, no, they're going to take your skin and going to turn you into a pet. What does it mean? Let's go to the next column. The Heilige Shem Yishmuel. The Shem Yishmuel was the son of the Avnei Nezer, the Sachet Shava Heber. Great. Shem Yishmuel is one of the great Svavim on Tanakh. So he says, he brings the Gemara. B'shas Sukkah, the Gemara, Sukkah Hanu Treinini. Alright, we learned the Gemara already. And the Gemara goes on. If you'll count down, I should have done 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. The Gemara ends on line 14, and we learned that already. And he says, Bahama'amar, this statement, this whole statement of our rabbis, Pil'i, it's a wonder. What's going on over here? Are they making jokes? Bahama'ashah, Pidesh, the Maharshah, one of the great Mepharshim of Talmud, he explains to the Derechitul, Amamin Echot Achavedu Kain. Each one of the meaning is making fun of the other one. Udvarav Eino Muvanim. He says, I don't understand what the Masha is saying. Ki Toratein Rakadoshai Nenu Malkom Lahatik Bo Difuritulim. Our holy Torah is not a place where we put words of nonsense of this sort. What are you talking about? Our rabbis, a big joke. Ha ha ha. Sasan and Simcha. There's no question about it that matters of great wisdom and something for man to learn are being hinted to here. I don't know how to, you know, all the Zion Tzaddik Lamed. Hey, the great Rebbe, my father, who was the Avnei Nezer, who was at the end of the last century, he was one of the great giants of Torah. From my father, I heard him say, "Lefanish tahamin savar ki atachlus la'adam liyot sas v'samer v'heshul lo rabavur ki zed ak tzodok la'avodav lo atachlus v'zeu shebenameis mashchid ha'ugavra mashvin le'kudam alini be'naya v'divrei pi chacham hay." He's going to base everything on what his father said. And his father said the following, that the machloket between the two was the following. There was something that both Sasan and Simcha agreed. They agreed that the purpose of man is to be happy. Be happy? That's the purpose of... The purpose is of man in this world is to be happy. Eat, drink, be happy today, for tomorrow who knows what's going to be.
That's what he says in
Yes, one of the Pesukim tells. Yeah, till the end. So davar hakol nishma, what's the end of all? Fear of God, ultimately. These two meaning both held that the most important thing in life is just be happy. The difference of opinion between the two is which of the two is better? Sason or Simcha. Along comes Rabbi Abu and he says that they're going to take your skin and turn it into a pail. He doesn't mean that literally. The message that he's sending to them is Sason and Simcha, joy and happiness, are never an ultimate goal. joy and happiness are the means by which we can achieve an ultimate goal. You can use happiness and joy as the pail, the instrument by which to achieve greatness. A happy and a joyous person is going to be a better servant of God. He's going to be a better human being. So, Sason and Simcha is a means. It's never the goal and the objective. Now, the Shem Yishmuel elaborates on what his father had said. And according to what he's saying, yes, the father is kol hamasa umatan. The entire give and take, we can explain the entire give and take. Masha bein haminin ubein hamin l'Rebbe Avu. The conversation that takes place between the two of them, between Sason and Simcha, and then ultimately the conversation between Sason and Rabbi Abu al-Derech Zeh, this way. V'hinei Simcha. He defines now the difference between Sason and Simcha. And in a sense, it's very similar to the definition that is given by the Malbim. To put it this way, somebody who works for years and finally gets a degree, a BA, an MA, a doctorate, you know, the real response at the end of a long period of hard work is an inner feeling of happiness. It's not like, whoopee! Despite the fact that, I don't know, in Annapolis they all throw their hats up or something of that sort. I don't know, maybe they're happy that the graduation is over. But the real simcha is an inner sense of having accomplished something, having embarked on a major effort and to have done it. That's simcha. It doesn't express itself in any outer cry of joy. It's a contentment, a feeling of well-being. I'm happy with myself. That's simcha. Sason is always the outer trappings of mezint metanz, and it can be the result of something momentary. I'm at a wedding. Dance. I'm very happy. There's a big difference between the two. The difference between the two is the following. Sason is usually easy come, easy go. The wedding is over, or you've exhausted yourself dancing, it's all over. Doesn't last. It's not a feeling. You don't just walk through life sussoning around. Doesn't work like that. Easy come. In other words, there's the great moment. So, you know, you heard a good joke. Gittin zechat salach, but you don't walk around the whole day salach zech, unless you start remembering the joke and you really like it. Okay. But otherwise, Sason is not long-lasting because there hasn't been a great investment by the human being in order to achieve the Sason. Simcha, where there's a tremendous investment of hard work and effort, when one finally achieves it, then we're talking about a true inner sense of happiness. The machloket between these two is, these are not foolish minim. These are not foolish apikorsim. The one whose name is Simcha says, yes, the objective is to be happy. But if you really want a meaningful sense of happiness, you're going to have to work hard. You're going to have to put in tremendous effort in order to achieve something in life that's going to give you Simcha. Sason is the more frivolous one of the two. And what he's saying is, and by the way, let me make one thing clear. There didn't ever have to be two minim by the name of Sason and Simcha. The Gemara uses this as the beautiful metaphor by which to describe what it is that they want to say. There didn't have to be a Sason and a Simcha. But there obviously had to be somebody who came and spoke to Rabbi Avu. Their names may have been, I don't know, Plato and Socrates. One of them held that Sason is the ultimate goal, and the other one held that Simcha is the ultimate goal. And then they discuss it with Rabbi Avu, who represents Chachmei Yisrael. And what is Rabbi Avu going to say? Regardless of whether it's Sason or it's Simcha, regardless of what it is, the only way in which it can be meaningful is as a means to an end, as an aid to accomplish great things, but never ever as a goal in and of itself.
Let's see the words of the Shem Yishmael. Ulefitar Kodesh Mesparesh, we can explain the whole Masa Umatan, the whole give and take between the two blasphemers, the Apokursim, Ubein Hamin Lerem Yavu Alderav Zed, Hinei Simcha Hi Hapola Odom Bahadroga Vishvada. Simcha is something that comes to a man, Bahadroga, step by step. Doesn't come in a single instant of time, and it comes with a sense of Yishuv Hadad. Yishuv Hadad?
Realization.
Huh?
Realization.
No, Yishuv Hadad means...
No,
peace of mind, precisely the words that I was looking for. Yishuv Hadad is peace of mind. It doesn't come from the hoo-ha of who knows what kind of great things happening. There's a certain peace of mind. The sasam hu habapit on sis sasam is that which comes suddenly. Whenever I come to this line, I always think of going down a roller coaster. You understand? Mishrei. Then when it's over, you say, thank God, Baruch Hashem, and you forget it all. Simcha is that which comes after tremendous effort. You earn simcha. You earn simcha, but sasson comes from without. I would say the stimulus for sasson is external. The stimulus for simcha is internal. It comes from within the human being. V'chein nida, so it seems from the Maamar HaKosov of the Pasuk says, sasson nochi al imratecho kemotei shalom rav. David HaMelech says, I'm full of joy by your words of Torah, like somebody who found a great treasure. Now, finding a great treasure did not involve any effort. And all of a sudden, I find a great treasure. It comes with suddenness and without effort. Sasson, therefore, is that which comes suddenly and without any effort. V'nei mitzio hitover abo pitom. Finding something is something that happens instantly, la'odom. Bilti is kavei elav mikodem. He never intended for it at all. That's why it's called sus. That's what sus is. I would say, therefore, of course, Yisusun Midbar Vitziyah, the Midbar, the desert, and the hot places of this earth have absolutely no idea that the moment is going to come that God is going to turn them into gardens of Eden. It's going to be a source of great joy that will come instantly. Further, the Sasson, and me, Gzirah Achat, the word Sas and Sasson come from the same root. Yisusun, therefore, is from the word sasson. Or Yosis Alayich Elokoyach Kinesot Katan Al Kala. Also, sas and sasson are the same. Vihine Yaduma, it is known Shahu Sasson Pakru Mitzvot Mahasiyot. The philosophers are the ones that rejected the mitzvahs of doing. All of Torah depends on, we discussed it in the Shia yesterday, the Parsha Shia, that Avraham Avinu was the great philosopher, but his true greatness, it came as a result of the fact that he took all of this great philosophy and he translated it into the everyday world of action. The great Avraham Avinu is the one who runs around in order to bring water for these dusty, dirty Bedouins who have come out of the heat. And he's running around and doing, giving them water, giving them to drink, giving them to eat, and giving them tongue, and giving them steak. It plays the. I'm not going to respond to that. No.
Yeah.
Bonham, the philosopher said, "Shatachlos hirak shanefesh tiknen midot tovot." The ultimate goal is, there's no much fits in, I'm beginning to see now how it fits in so much to what we said yesterday. He said, the philosopher said that the most important thing is that we have to develop good character traits, good personality. You have to be a good human being. You have to love everybody.
Humanism.
Everybody except your own. Right, that's my footnote over there. I love the whole world. Except your family and your people and your land, then you're okay. The more you love the whole world out there, love, love, love. Make love, not this. This was the opinion of these two fellas, Sasson and Simcha. The only difference between Sasan and Simcha, both of them reject the idea of mitzvot. They say the important thing is character, personality. You know, it's got to be a good human being. The only thing that they disagreed about was what should be our goal. In Simcha Habav Hadroga V'Yishu Adad Shenit Atzein V'Nefesh, where the happiness that comes step by step with peace of mind that becomes strong within the human soul. Everybody agrees. Everybody agrees that being depressed and unhappy is a terrible thing. My father, Lashon, came from Rapchitz. There was a great Yid in Rapchitz 100, 150 years ago from Naftali Mirapchitz. Now, Naftali Mirapchitz said, Atzlus, sadness, depression is not an aveda. Other Atzlus can bring him to the Eretz Avedas. But unhappiness and depression can bring to the worst avedas. Yes, Toby agrees with me because she's also a Chabtitzer. All right, but there will be no time for questions, not right now. Or, the second opinion, Sasson's opinion was, since happiness is good, and the removal of this unhappiness, you've got to get rid of depression. Depression is destructive of the human psyche. So then you know what you should look for? You should look for experiences that give you sasong. Give you sasong. At one time I thought it was going to Disney World. You know, have you ever been to Disney World or Disneyland? I don't know, we were in Orlando. Were you ever there? It was unbelievable. From the moment you come into the parking lot, all the Disney ladies are walking out with big smiles. When you come out, 12 hours later, they still have the same smiles on them. It's like they're locked into place. Wherever you come, everybody's smiling. You're in the Magic Kingdom. It can be sugar better from the smile. Now, of course, if you have to go to an Israeli pavilion over there, so it's not happiness anymore. It's Hashem and Achar before you reach all your Akkadish. But there was something so artificial. I felt when I was there, it was so artificial. Everybody's so smiling. Nobody cares about it. And it was hardly thinking to themselves, God, we have to smile to these tourists again. It was a lovely... All right. The truth is, I enjoyed it immensely when I was there. I'm saying the truth. But yeah, later, when I look back at the experience, it was too artificial. It was too artificial. All right, take a look. Look what gets everybody excited over here, you know. Talk about Disney World. Disney World is an expression of sasong. In other words, sasong held that since depression is destructive of the human psyche, then you have to find experiences that will give us, and you go from one joyous experience to the next, and you try and dance your way through life. But both of them agreed that mitzvahs, to perform mitzvahs, to do this, to do that, that's out. But the important, the goal is to remove, we're not talking about people who are fools, we're talking about people who are great philosophers. That's how the Shem Yishmol explains it. And therefore they say, yes, Sasson says it's terribly important to look for those kind of experiences that are going to give you joy and glee. And therefore it removes unhappiness, it removes depression, and the human being who is not depressed can accomplish great things. So it goes on to say, maybe the joy that comes quickly, suddenly. That's why I've been translating Simcha is happiness and Sasson is joy. There is something about the word happiness that means, you know, something that one has achieved over a long period of time. And why does Sasson go for those special experiences? Because there's an advantage and a disadvantage to Sasson and to Simcha. The advantage of Sasson is that it's intense. It's intense. When somebody is in a state of Sasson, it is the kind of joy that takes over the whole neshama. Like, the person who is besimcha may be walking quietly along the street in happiness. It's not as intense as Sasson. But with the intensity of Sasson also comes the idea, as we said earlier, easy come, easy go. It's not necessarily going to last. Sasan will be intense and powerful. It will overwhelm the personality. But it's going to go. Some sooner, some later, in a brief period of time, it's over. So the difference of opinion between Sasan and Simcha was that Simcha says it's worthwhile putting in the years of effort in order to achieve things that will give you Simcha. It's not so intense Simcha, but it has the advantage of it lasts. Simcha lasts. And Sasan says, no, it's true that Simcha lasts, Sasan doesn't last, but the intensity of Sasan is such that it can make a human being into a better individual. So therefore, Almighty Sasan, we cross Sasan the Simcha Yasidu. Sasan brings the pasuk that says, Sasan the Simcha Yasidu, that's our pasuk right here in chapter 35. They will achieve Sasan and Simcha. So Sasan is said first, maybe because he wants to say that if you want to achieve Simcha, you know what to start with? Sasan is the road that leads to Simcha. The Agdim cross Sasan with Simcha. Because the Pasuk says Sasan before Simcha, Vahainu, Shayyadeh HaSasan, Shayyadeh HaNefesh, become through the Sasan, which is so intense within the soul, Yavavah HaKach Kamu Simcha V'yishuvatar. Sasan afterwards is going to lead you. The Sasonic experiences will ultimately bring you to this Simchatic one. What a sentence that was. What a sentence. I'm impressed. Now, because you have to understand, Sasan is not saying that all of life should be just one great Sasan or going from one Sasan to the next. Sasan will bring you to the Simcha. The Simcha, the second fellow, brings the pasuk of Simcha the Sasan la Yehudim. Haim shalidei Simcha v'hadrobam yishvadashi itatzim benefesh tavarachachka kam Sasan shikizrag v'shanefesh v'titlai v'tavarachka. He says precisely the opposite. You know who can really burst into great joy? You know to really be happy, say, for somebody else's Simcha? The person who already has Simcha Bazaar. Mefarginim, as they would say over here. If you are personally the Simcha, and then following the Simcha, you're going to have the great, mighty experience of Sasan. That's going to strengthen your Simcha. So therefore, Simcha says, first you have to put in the effort. You have to put in the effort to become a good human being, a fine, loving, caring person. And then when you enter that experience of Sasan, that's going to give you the great sense of well-being. As is known from people who know what the psyche is like, a person who has already gotten himself into the habit of being a happy person. You know, there are two kinds of people. And on good reasons, there are people who have a sort of a brighter outlook on life, and then there are people who, for whatever reason, are just unhappy. But if a person is able to bring himself to happiness, then ultimately the Sasan is going to come. Ubinyan Zeh, last paragraph, Ubinyan Zeh, Yeshmakon, the Tibet Shem, therefore, both of them are in fact saying the truth, except they haven't got it. They missed it. Sheve'emet l'kol echad yesh malo she'en bezulato. Sasan and Simcha, each one has an advantage that the other doesn't have. Left hand side of the page. Shasasan above Vitam, Sasan that comes quickly, instantly, suddenly, Yeshbo, Regesh, Yoter, Milu, Hayabab, Adroga. It's more intense than if it would have come stage by stage. Avalu'um at Shabbat came Yelek. In the way it came, that's the way it goes. It doesn't have durability built into it. Bin Laila Hoya. Ubin Laila Avad. Where's that from?
Yonah.
The Kikayon of Yonah. Bin Laila Hayo Bin Laila Avad. It came one night and it was gone. Sasan disappears, disintegrates. The Simcha HaBoba HaDroga, but happiness that comes stage by stage, Yesh Bama'alad has the advantage, Shemitkayemet Biyoter, it remains, it lasts. But it's not as intense with great feeling and as strong as Sasan. That's why the Gemara brings this story. The Shem Yishmael, by the way, may even believe that there are two fellows by the name of Sasan and Senta. But the important thing is the discussion that's taking place is not just ha-ha funny. There are deep thoughts in this discussion in the Gemara. And therefore, I will be Ikra Tava, but the most important statement is the one that's made by Rabbi Abu. You're both wrong. Because neither Sason nor Simcha can be the ultimate goal. Sason and Simcha are the means by which a human being can become a greater human being, a better servant of God, a one whose relationship with fellow human beings is better. But Sasan and Simcha alone are never the ultimate goal. And therefore he says, Usha'aftem mayim b'sasan, you're going to fetch water with Sasan, that you're going to take Sasan and turn it into a pail. And the Sasan is going to be the means by which you will come to great joy and happiness. And then in the last line he says, the ultimate goal, didn't you say it a few minutes ago, that the ultimate goal is how Shlomo HaMelech ends the book of Kohelet at the Lukim Yadav that Mitzotav Shemor Kizek Kol Ha'adam. The ultimate goal of man is to fear God and to keep his mitzvot. And everything else is only the means by which to achieve that goal. Can we take a minute out? There were two hands that I saw up. I need a drink. Yes, give it your second. To what word does it? Simicha! Excellent. I'm happy I just took off the pause button because I'm the soul of Marta Pythonis. But Shamsun Paul Hirsch says that Simcha comes from the word Simicha. Growth. Semach. Tzadik and Sin. By the way, he does this very often to come to the root of words. Come to the root of words. Toby? Very good. That's two. She says, we are commanded to serve God with Simcha. Ibdu et Hashem v'simcha. Do you know what? That's precisely like what Rabbi Abu says to Sason, Mishachten Mayim v'sason. Ibdu et Hashem v'simcha. V'sason, he says, we're going to take Sason and turn him into a pail. Simcha is also a pail. I'm impressed. Yes?
Could you also say when you say Simcha, Milo Lishma, Ma Lishma, if you start with that one, you can
come? That's true as long as you know what the ultimate goal is. If you know that the objective is not Sason and Simcha alone, but the objective is to be Yedei Elokim, Ushmar Mitzotav, absolutely. You certainly should go for Sasan and Simcha. Rabbi Abu is not opposed to it. Adarabba, but you just have to know. You should get a good Simcha's Beis HaShoeva, the great joy of Simcha's Beis HaShoeva. So you know what the Gemara says by Simcha's Beis HaShoeva? Misham hayu shoavim ruach HaKodesh. From there, people would fetch, they would get ruach HaKodesh. Do you know when Yonah became a Navi? By a Simcha's Beis HaShoeva. Ein HaKodesh Baruch Hu, the Gemara says, Ein HaKodesh Baruch Hu Mashre Shchinasal, the Rebbe Shem brings his spirit to dwell only on a person who is B'Simcha. A few years ago we said that this is one of the awesome things. Rav Kook says it about the Akedah. God says to Avram, this week said that God says to Avram, Katna is Bimchas Yechid Kasher Ahavta, Es Yitzchak. Take the one and only son and you love Yitzchak. And V'haleyu La'ola, and bring him as an Ola Al-Achad Hehonim upon one of the mountains, I said, Omar Elecho, that I will say to you, that I will tell you. Why doesn't he tell him immediately? So Rashi says, in order to give Avram Schar for every step, and I would say, he'll appear to him, Avram, over here, take a left. No, no, he wouldn't say that. No, Avram, take a right. And when you come to the end of the road, Sham Tishar, you'll ask again, and Sadech Ben Shimon is going to speak to him again. By the way, Rashi in Lech Lecha said, Rashi this said at the beginning of Lech Lecha, because God says, go to the land Asher Ar'eka. So what does Rashi say over there? He brings this pshat, that why didn't he tell him the land immediately? So you should give him reward for every time he speaks to him. Avram grows. And he brings another pasuk, and I was struck by it. He says, where else do we have something of this sort that God wants to give a reward to a person for every time he talks to him? And I know the Rashi. Rashi brings the pasuk, Ukra aleha et hakriya asher anochi dover elecha. Call out about the city that which I'm going to say to you. Where does that pasuk appear?
Yonah.
At the beginning of Yonah, God says to Yonah, go to Nineveh, and you will call out about the city that which I will tell you. Why doesn't God tell him immediately what it is he should say? Because God wants to give reward to Yonah every time he talks to him. So do you understand what Rashi is saying? The Yonah who flees from before God is beloved by God. God wants to engage him in conversation. You're running away from me, I'm going to catch up with you. There's nowhere he can go away. So the same thing, Rav Avram, every time he appears to him, this is greater reward for Avram. Rav Kook says, do you understand what's happening over here? Do you realize the greatness of Avram Avinu? For God to appear to a human being, he must be in a state of simcha. For 3 days, he's traveling to Hara Moria in order to slaughter his one and only son, and Avram is that certain that what he's doing or what he plans to do is right. We're not talking about an Avram Avinu who is unhappy or nervous or tense. He goes, Vayashken Avram Baboker, he gets up in the morning, and he goes on that awesome and frightening and terrifying journey of 3 days, and he is in a state of simcha. Otherwise, God could never talk to him. Great, great statement by Rav Kook. So Satan and simcha are never the goal of the objective. Ah, if I'm to paraphrase Rav Naphtali Mirovchitz, who said that atzvus, depression and unhappiness, is not an avera, but what atzvus can bring to are the worst averas. So I will say, Sason and Simcha are not necessarily a mitzvah, but what Sason and Simcha can bring the human being to. Boy, what it can bring the human being to. Therefore, the description of Geula, of redemption, is always going to be described in terms of there will be Sason, there will ultimately be Simcha, there will be Gil. Gil is an offshoot of simcha. It is something that may come suddenly, but it's all the outgrowth of simcha. The person who is in a state of simcha can therefore experience gil. So. All right, listen. I think there are many psukim. It better have been worthwhile. I understand there are many psukim that are going to be explained with this. So let's. Let's go through the psukim again, Lamed Hay. We have another few minutes. We can go over the whole chapter. And there are 10 psukim. I tell you, this is a chapter. This is a chapter to read over once or twice a day over the next 2 weeks until our next class. And you come walking in and you know, maybe we should do something with them. Give them a shekel for every pasuk they know by heart. My wife told the Einiklach, I said it at the Israel Center, Shana Rav at night, the Einiklach would tell them to learn Hazinu by heart, and for every pasuk in Hazinu, you get a shekel or 2 shekel. Boy, these kids, we're going broke, thank God, and they're learning Hazinu. So, I have to offer it for it. All right. A shekel. It's a beautiful chapter to learn.
Yesusum Yidbar Vitziyah. Great joy will burst out in the desert and the dry places. V'togel Arava. Now Gil, remember, comes from Simcha. The Arava is going to be able to reach a greater degree of fruitfulness, because the Arava by nature could be fruitful, except that there are all sorts of thorns and thistles. So the Arava can achieve Gil. V'tifrach, and the Arava is going to burst forth in blossom, kachavatzelet, like the lily, the rose. Paroach tifrach, there's going to be a constant blossoming, the togel. Gil, the great joy. Av gilat v'ramein, not only gil, but also ramein singing. Kvod halavanoni tenla, hadarakam of asharon. And we explained last week, the honor of the Lebanon, the cedars of Lebanon have great majesty, but you know what has true beauty? The Sharon has great beauty. The burst of color you see in the Sharon, you don't see the burst of color in the Lebanon. So, Kron HaLebanon Nitamla, Bahadar HaKamel Vasharon. By the way, Rashi says that the whole pasuk is talking about Yerushalayim. The real Lebanon is Yerushalayim. There will be great joy. Yerushalayim is going to break out all over the place. The Lebanon is Bet HaMikdash, the Arava, the Nibar, the Tziyaz, the Yerushalayim that has been desolate for so many centuries. Hey, Mo Yidu Kvod Hashem, they're going to see the honor of God, Hadar Elokeinu, the beauty of our God. The Techezeno, Eineinu, Vishuvacha, Letzion, Verachamim. But he says there's going to be a long period of exile, and during that long period of exile, there are those who simply become weak. They can't, they despair. There are those whose weakness is the legs. They can't go anymore. Genug, wandered enough through the gullahs. And then there are even those who begin to lose hope and lose faith. So the God says for the Navi to tell the Jewish people, Chazku, strengthen your Dayim Rafot, hands that have become weak, Ubirkayim Koshlot, and knees that are falling, Ametsu, give them courage. Imru l'nim ha'ilei, say to the ones who act with haste and are ready to give up. Chizku, be strong, Altirol, don't be afraid. Hinei elokeichem makom yavo, behold, your God will bring vengeance against the enemies of Israel. Gmul elokim, the reward of God. Hu yavo v'yoshachem, he's going to come and he's going to save you. And then, oz tipakachna einei ivrim, and we receive the eyes. It's like the eyes of the blind, and the eyes of the blind of him means those who cannot see the truth before their very eyes. The eyes of the blind, the eyes of the blind will open up, and the ears of the deaf will let them hear. And by hearing, we're talking about those who can hear the word of God. And one of that, Oziat Balei Kayal Pisayah, the one who's lame is going to dance like a... What's an ayal?
Yeah.
A heart, a gazelle. All right, an ayal. The taron shoni lame, the tongue of the mute will sing. Ki nivku b'midbar mayim u'nechalim b'arava, because out in the desert that broke through water and there are rivers going through the Arava. So you see, in the Arava, which we said is a place where you can ultimately grow, it's going to be rivers that are going to rush through the Arava. In the Midbar, what's necessary is whoever goes through the Midbar should have water. These metaphors are going to be used time and time again to describe what the ultimate goal is going to be. Water is going to be so terribly, terribly important. V'hoyo ha'shanav la'agam, that which is dry is going to become a lake, v'tzima'on l'mabu u'mayim, places where there's thirst are going to come places of flowing water. V'nevei tanim rivtza, where the jackals would lie, that's where people will be able to live. Chotzir l'kona v'gome, you know what's going to happen in these places? They're going to burst out with with all sorts of vegetation. Kona v'gome. Kona v'gome is that which they put Moshe into a Tevat Gomer, and he was placed by the Suf, the Koneh, that which grows only where there's a tremendous amount of water. So that you're going to have in the Arava. Goyosham Maslul Vaderech. This is going to be important when we get to chapters 40, 42, 43. There's going to be a path and a road. Vaderech HaKadosh Yikarele, it's going to be called the Holy Road. Lo Yavnenu Tamei Gehulamo. It's going to be safe passage
only for the Jewish people. Nobody else is going to go on that road. Right? It's for him. For him, the road is for the Jewish people. One who goes on the road there, the fools. It doesn't mean fools, it means the one who doesn't know. He's not going to be able to make a mistake. It's a road where you won't even have to ask. You're going to know exactly how to travel that road back. Lo yesham argei no lion uvitz chayot or beasts that burst out al yaleno shall not go. Terrorists shall not go upon that road. Lo timate sham, you won't find them there. And you know who's going to go on that road? Lo helchu geulim, only the redeemed, they're the ones. And this great pasuk of all, Teduya Yashem, those who are redeemed by God will return. Uvo Tzion, the Dino, they're going to come to Tzion in song. V'simchat olam. You can only use the word olam with simcha. You can't use the word olam, eternal, forever, with the word sasam. Because simcha by its very nature is that which lasts and lasts. Sasam v'simcha yasigu. That was the pasuk that sasam said to simcha. That's the way the whole Gemara started. Sasam v'simcha yasigu. They will achieve joy and happiness. And you know what will therefore flee? Yagon ta'anacha. Yagon ta'anacha. Yagon, by the way, simcha removes yagon, and sasam removes anacha. You know what anacha is? Anacha is the outer expression of happiness. Azif. Upset. Upset. Why do you think I need you here? Why don't I talk to myself? I need somebody who's going to keep me on the straight and the narrow. The outer expression of happiness is sasam. That corresponds to anocha. Anocha is going to be removed by sasam, because sasam is the great burst of joy, and anocha is the krecht. How do you say it? The groan, the ache, the sigh of sadness. And simcha is going to remove yagon, because yagon is an inner feeling of depression and happiness. Simcha takes the place of yagon. Sason removes anocha. The whole pasuk is written so beautifully. Everything fits. Everything is balanced. You have homework. Chapters 36, 37, 38, and 39.